Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Shadmar Quits. We are your hosts for this weekend edition. Also your hosts throughout the week on our website and podcast, kereport.com or Corlin Economics Report with your podcast player. It was another kind of wild week in the markets. A lot of this volatility is driven generally by the ongoing conflict or war between Ukraine and Russia. That is causing waves in all kinds of markets, but we're not necessarily getting straight line directional plays. But overall, risk off is moving higher. And that's where we're going to start with the precious metals market, as we are chatting with Jayant Bhandari, private investor and consultant to a lot of the big investors in the resource sector. Now, Jayant, the gold price, as we're talking, which is about halfway through the day on Wednesday, gold is above 1900, had a great day Tuesday, pulling back a little bit today, but overall we did see a monthly close just above 1900 at 1970 cents on the tail end of February. That was the Monday's close. Jayant, what's your takeaway from this uptrend that gold is in and the break above 1900? What do you take away from this environment?
Well, Corey, gold was doing reasonably well even before this Canadian truckers protest started and even before the war between Ukraine and Russia started. Gold was in a consolidation mode. And then two things hit. One was that Canadian Prime Minister started freezing bank accounts of some people. And not only he had the authority to freeze those accounts himself, he delegated that authority to the individual managers and branch offices of banks. Now, that brought to the front a fear that people have had about electronic money, that your bank accounts, your electronic money could get frozen at any point of time. And they are facing consequences of not having thought about this thing properly, which meant that gold visibility had to go up. And then you see the same thing with not only to do with the fear to do with the war between Ukraine and Russia, but also within Russia, Apple Pay and other electronic payment systems and bank accounts have been largely frozen, which means that now people have to be more fearful about the electronic money. And gold becomes an extremely important way to bypass electronic money and have your at least some of your wealth in your own pocket. So gold has gone up only about 5% after these two events happened, which is not a very big deal considering that inflation has been very high in the US. So I think at 1900, gold is very well supported. And even if the war between Russia and Ukraine were to come to an end immediately, gold price is not going to fall much, if at all.
Well, Jayant, you raise a good point there about some of the risk to digital money. Although we've seen some of the cryptocurrencies still move higher in anticipation that if Russia is removed from the SWIFT banking system, that maybe some citizens would access cryptocurrencies. And there's that narrative. But I see your point about there also being the value of precious metals starting to shine a bit more. And in addition, before all this Ukraine geopolitical theater started, we already had, as you mentioned, the highest inflation in 40 years. Not just in the U.S., in many countries, and also the Fed rate hiking cycle about to kick off here in March. So do you think that at this point that the Fed rate hiking cycle, and if they do move forward with it in March or sometime soon, that actually could be a negative and a drag on gold because interest rates are rising? Or do you think it may be positive because in prior rate hiking cycles, we have seen the precious metals actually excel higher?
Well, I don't think the rate hike really makes any difference now. That rate hike, expected rate hike, is already priced in the gold market, from what I think. Moreover, oil price is going up, inflation is going up, and I think stagflation is going to hit the market which means that they really don't have an opportunity to increase the rate too much. Now, if they increase rate a bit when inflation is much higher, it doesn't really make any difference anyway, because the real inflation, the real rate is still lower than what I would have expected. So I don't really give much credence to the rate hike right now, given that inflation is extremely high.
Hey, I understand what you're saying there, Giant. We have been very well warned for this rate hike. I do caution when you say that even if this war was to end tomorrow, that you don't see much or any pullback in the gold price, because you did say it did even contribute or has helped for about a 5% bump. We'll see what all happens there. And quite frankly, we don't know what will happen or even when that war will end or tensions ease. Let's move over into the stocks, though, because some of the majors, the royalty companies, the larger gold stocks, those have been running. Those have benefited from this higher gold price. The juniors still broadly have been left behind. However, this is kind of a general trend when you start to see at least bigger money coming into the sector. The retail audience still clearly more or less avoiding the sector. What do you like in these markets for gold stocks? Where do you find value out there?
Gold stocks have certainly done well over the last few weeks, and junior mining companies have lagged behind, as they usually tend to do in a situation like this. But I think that is where an opportunity is. There's a huge disconnect between the gold price and the prices of several of the junior mining companies. So I think this is an opportunity for people to invest in some of these companies.
Well, Giant, with the majors having their share prices growing in value and basically their currency, their share price going up, and with the junior prices not having moved yet, do you think that may lead to some further M&A in the sector? And I know that we were talking off mic about one deal that just happened recently, but just as a general trend, do you think we may see more M&A because of that?
Oh, absolutely. This will create a domino effect. That is exactly how the development stage companies start to move up, and then the smaller exploration and generative companies start to move up, because you keep going down the value chain. Now, we were talking about Perseus Mining making a bid for Orca. Perseus is a good company. They have done very well in the past, and I think there is a decent upside in that company itself. Now they are acquiring Orca, and with that, they will acquire Montage Gold, a company about which we have talked in the past. In my view, Montage is reasonably actually probably the cheapest gold stock I know of, despite that it has done very well since the merger between Orca and Perseus was announced. So my guess is that Perseus will go after Montage, given that they now will own about 31% of Montage. So mergers and acquisitions will pick up. Companies have to hurry up in terms of acquiring development stage projects, and that will continue, although they have been happening. Such mergers have been already happening.
So, Giant, do you like the synergies that you're seeing with that acquisition with Perseus taking out Orca? Because Orca, in all fairness, it's been around for a while. I think people were waiting for some takeout of Orca for at least the last couple of years. We finally have it, and it came at a pretty nice premium. It is a one-year high, little under where the stock peaked at just at the very start of 2021, but that was, again, after a nice run-up. So this is a takeover where most, if not, well, pretty much all shareholders are being rewarded to a certain extent. But again, the synergies that Perseus Mining is seeing here.
Oh, absolutely. This is a good acquisition. And as we have talked about this in the past, several of the African development stage companies have been forgotten by the market. And because there were either coup rumors or coups happening in West African countries, people were afraid of investing in Africa. But you really don't have, you know, you have to worry about politics, but many of these sub-Saharan African countries are what they are. And you have to understand that many of the valuations of these companies take into account the political risks in those countries. So Given that situation, I think some of these companies were cheap and they are going to get increasing visibility as time goes by because companies like Perseus and Barrick, they know, Endeavor Mining, they know how to operate in that kind of environment.
John, you're bringing up an interesting point about jurisdiction risk here with this Orca takeover by Perseus, because when you think back to it, there's been so many different takeovers of gold companies in Africa, whether it's Teranga and Semafo last year, Savory, True Gold, Griffin. We just saw Roxgold taken over by Fortuna. We've just seen a lot of transactions there, and a lot of people are hesitant to invest in a place like West Africa, even though each country is unique, and within each country, all those jurisdictions are unique. How do you approach investing in an area that's considered risky like that when you're valuing these companies?
I think investors are astute in the sense that they understand the risks associated with some of these companies, and they also appreciate the fact that they don't know much about what's happening in some of these countries. So what I look for, Shad, is that I want to have management that I trust and management that I consider to be competent. Pretty much the only thing I can do. And that's been the case with Montage. Of course, Montage has done very well. And I still think there's a lot of room for it to go to do well. But that is really the only thing I can go after, apart from the fact that I like to go to these countries by myself to experience these countries. But then for the last 2 years, I haven't really been to Africa at all.
Yeah, you're not alone, Giant. Everyone, I think, has been more or less tied up closer to home. And I think that's been used as an excuse why we've seen less M&A activity. Don't know if that's actually the case, but we have heard that's why. A lot of M&A hasn't happened during that COVID time. Any other maybe juniors or explorers that you like the work that they're doing that aren't getting the love you think they deserve? I know the list could be pretty long, but anything that's on your mind?
Yeah, so let's talk about another West African company, Nucor Gold. The ticker is NCAU, it is still trading at 54 cents. I think they have done a fabulous job, and this company will get visibility over the next few weeks, and that's where I should be investing some more of my money. We can talk about another company, Corey, if you want. That is Aztec Minerals. The ticker is AZT, and it's trading at 31 cents. They came out with a fabulous drill hole this morning, 137 meters of 1.49 grams per ton. Now, the earlier hole that they had was about 1 gram per ton. Remember, when you hit something like 1.5 grams per ton, the economics is not just 50% higher. It is a multiple higher than what it was earlier. So these kind of holes completely change the economics of the projects. And that is why I think the news release to do with Aztec is very significant, but market has not paid attention to it. And I think that is exactly when I like to invest in companies.
So, Giant, with Aztec, I know the story well. I am a shareholder, in full disclosure. They have two projects, both under JV agreements. Do you think that holds them back a little bit because of the JV aspect, even though that costs them less to drill these projects? And in all fairness, they have started to see some good results from both assets.
Yeah, I mean, JV does create some problems, life is what it is. They still own, I think, 75% of both projects. Most of the value should reflect in their market capitalization. Eventually, I think ownership should revert to 100% for each project. The market might be concerned about it, but it doesn't really matter to me at the current share price. At the current share price, Aztec, in my view, is hugely undervalued. And I can worry about what this joint venture means once the market capitalization has gone up quite a bit up from where it is today.
So, Giant, that best hole that we have that was announced this morning on Wednesday was at that Cervantes project, the other project being the Tombstone project. Which one do you like better? Do you have a preference in terms of the recent news as to which one you think could drive the stock?
Clearly the Mexican project is going to drive up the stock right now, given that this whole is fabulous, I think the market should start paying attention to what this whole means over the next few days. So this is in the driver's seat for now.
Well, Giant, I may shift it back over to Nucor Gold. And in full disclosure, I'm a shareholder of Nucor Gold and Montage Gold. And I'm a fan of West Africa and have made a lot of money investing there in the last decade because of it being more of a contrarian area. But I see Nucor very much like Montage, where they have a lot of gold already defined in the ground. They've got really solid drill programs. They're expanding their resources. I have a lot of confidence in the management teams. But why is it, do you think that, I mean, besides the jurisdiction, I always scratch my head as to why both Montage and Nucor Gold are so undervalued. If you had those kind of resources in Canada or the U.S. or even in Australia, they'd be many multiples higher. Do you think there's something else that investors are looking for? Is it because they're bulk tonnage deposits? Is it because they're not high grade? Where do you think the value disconnect is?
Well, interestingly, if you compare the share price performance of Nucor Gold and Montage Gold, they have been very correlated over the last many months. Now, of course, Montage has outperformed over the last 1 week because of this announcement of merger between Orca and Perseus. And that is what I think will eventually happen to Nucor Gold. Market stays completely disinterested in some of these companies, and then suddenly someone recognizes the value of these companies, and then they go up in one abrupt step. And that is what happened with Montage Gold. And I think there will be another step up for Montage Gold. And I think that is when Nucor will go up. There will just be one nice step up someday. When that day will come, we don't know. But when, as long as there's an upside, I would rather be invested in companies like these than wait for the so-called opportunity time to come.
Well, just one more quick follow-up on both companies and companies like this that are development stage. Both of them are working on increasing their resources. And with Nucor, they've got a resource estimate that'll be coming out in tandem with an economic study. Same thing with Montage Gold. They're getting ready to release their feasibility study. Do you think companies that are development stage, that are getting ready to put out a key economic study, give them the ability to get re-rated? Do you think that's a good place for investors to look for value before it's obvious to analysts?
Absolutely. I think that will be the kind of companies that will perform the best going forward, because the mining companies have done well and now it's time for the development stage companies to be seen and appreciated by the market. So I think that this is where most of the growth should happen over the next few weeks.
So Giant, to your point about Nucor and maybe some investors waking up to it, to me it sounds like they need kind of a big investor, maybe a strategic or somebody else to see the value there and, who knows, give them some more money in terms of a financing, although I know they're well cashed up, or just start buying in the market. Does that mean we need some more funds, some bigger players to come in?
Well, you don't know. As we were talking about Montage a few weeks back, you know, nothing happens and then suddenly something happens. And then when the share price goes up, it just becomes a lot easier for these companies to raise money for CapEx, for the capital. So as the share price performs, raising money becomes easier for these companies. And that can easily happen with Nucor as well. So I don't worry so much about how much money they have to raise right now, given that the upside is so nice with these some of these companies. I have to start worrying about their capabilities to raise cash when the share prices has performed quite well over the next few months or weeks. And then once they have gone up by, let's say, 50% or 100%, then I will start worrying about how they will raise cash.
So are you going to be a seller if we do get this bounce in the juniors, moving these stocks higher? I know you're not an overly active trader. You do like to buy positions and hold with companies. But would you be a seller if we do see a quick double or even 50% move in any of these juniors that have broadly lagged?
Every company that I invest in, I have a buy price and a sell price. And if my target price is reached, I will sell. I'm not in love with any of these companies. I will sell when the time comes.
Okay, Giant, we'll wrap it up here. Thank you for sharing some of your thoughts on the gold sector, but more importantly, on the stocks. If anybody wants more information on any of the stocks that we've mentioned, feel free to email us, fleck@kereport.com or chat@kereport.com. And hey, we'll get Giant back on in a few weeks to discuss more on the resource sector and also feed a little bit more on some of these stocks. Giant, thank you, as always, for your time. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Great. Thanks very much, Corey and Chad.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.